Hey team, welcome to Rewriting Wellbeing, the Teacher's Health Podcast, the show that helps you thrive and not just survive, both in and out the classroom. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you are doing really, really well today. And I hope that the quality of this episode is significantly better than the previous one. I can't believe I did that. If you listen to the Beat Burnout episode, I literally got to the end, looked at my microphone and realized that it wasn't fully plugged in. So you've got some awful tinny sound from my laptop. So I am really sorry about that, but hopefully you managed to bear with it and hopefully it was still an interesting and insightful episode for you. So today I'm back with another Teacher Talks episode, and today I'm talking to Dan Chaplin of Teachers Run Club. So over the last 13 years, Dan has taught PE at a large primary school in Luton, and in more recent years, he's switched his focus to the staff and the wider community, helping them to take on their own active challenges and use their journey to inspire and motivate others. His aim is to help to create and share as many active opportunities for school staff members and children as possible, and use those stories to show children and young people that they too can achieve their goals. Over the last 6 years, Dan has helped create multiple staff challenges, including staff fun runs, across-country bike rides, and town-wide virtual challenges, all while raising money and awareness for various charities, helping staff realise their potential and encouraging children and their families to get active alongside their teachers, which is just amazing. Now, Teachers Run Club was born out of the increased number of school staff exploring running and movement during the lockdowns that we saw over the last few years. And it sort of provided a safe space for school staff to share their stories, ask questions to like-minded people, and celebrate the successes of movement and specifically running to hopefully inspire others and get their own running shoes on. I'm really excited to share this chat I had with Dan. He is an awesome, awesome guy, very, very inspirational. We talk about all sorts. We talk about what well-being means to Dan. We talk about getting teachers more active and getting children more active and what the benefits are. We talk about how we're going to do that by changing culture and bringing that into schools, the pitfalls that we need to avoid. You know, people who might feel a little bit unconfident teaching PE or don't feel confident in their own skills or fitness levels, how we can manage that and how we can improve our own mental and physical health and well-being, but also provide that really strong model for children to emulate as well. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you. So without further ado, here is Dan Chaplin from Teachers Run Club. Dan, hello, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
No problem, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. It's great to be here. And we've been talking for a long time over the last couple of years, so it's good to actually get to sit down and do this.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to this. And the, you know, talking about physical activity and that sort of stuff is kind of something that we drop in on and we touch on from time to time, but it's not something we've really delved deep into. And particularly the things that we're going to talk about tonight, I think are going to be, you know, really, really interesting topics, and the links to schools and how, you know, practical ways that people can bring what we're going to talk about into their schools and all of that good stuff, I think is going to be really valuable for people. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. Well, just to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit more about you, who you are, what you do, and a little bit more about your journey with health and wellbeing?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Dan Chaplin, and I've been teaching in primary school PE for, this is my 15th year now at the same school in Luton. And I've absolutely loved it. It's been a brilliant journey for me, education wise, to kind of grow as a teacher, but also see the active opportunities across the whole community, not just for the pupils, but for staff, for the whole community together. So my active journey started from when I was at school. I was really, really active as a child. I didn't do fantastic as academically, but I found a love of sport and a love of movement. And that came in the form of ice hockey and roller hockey, which at that time, and probably still now, it wasn't a massively popular sport that a lot of people did. I wasn't brilliant at football at all, but I had a lot of endurance. I could run a lot. So at school, I kind of did cross country. But because I didn't do fantastic in the classroom, once I realized that I could actually play hockey and I found a sport that was my own, I suppose that kind of became my identity. And just followed that for like the next 10 or 15 years, playing as much as I possibly could. It basically just chose the path I was going to take in life. You know, I went to Canada. I managed to have an opportunity to play in Canada, play ice hockey there, represent Great Britain. And all these things, not that I knew it at the time, were kind of shaping what my future was going to be, which in the end was teaching children and trying to inspire a new generation of children who enjoyed activity. As I got a little bit older, when I had my children, you know, playing 40 hockey games in a year just wasn't practical anymore. And I suppose after a long time of doing the same thing, you need something new. You need something different to keep you motivated and inspired. And I didn't know what that was going to be. So I started cycling to work. And that led on to what I currently do now, which is triathlon and running and all things endurance. So that's essentially my kind of very brief active journey. But I've always found pleasure in just moving my body, just being active. I can't sit still. And I seem to have some sort of superpower into tricking other people or making them think that they want to do it too. And I guess that's kind of led on to Teachers Run Club.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really cool. And we'll talk about Teachers Run Club and things as we go through. But can you just give us maybe just a brief introduction to Teachers Run Club? Because you're doing some awesome stuff.
Yeah, so it kind of was something I was thinking about during the January lockdown. So we're going back a few years now, 2021, where on Twitter, I was just noticing loads of teachers were being active on Twitter saying, oh, I've gone out for a run. It was my 1 hour outside of the house, whatever it was. But they needed to break up that virtual teaching and they weren't moving around at school. They weren't moving their body. So a lot of teachers and educators and anyone working in sort of education were going out and clocking a walk or finding running again for the first time. And I thought, firstly, this is brilliant. There must be a place where people are sharing this. And there wasn't. Whilst I was actually out running, came up with the idea of Teachers Run Club, a place where educators could share what they were doing, maybe ask for some tips. But it wasn't about me. It was just about creating a platform where teachers could talk to each other and maybe say, oh, I'm thinking about doing this. What do other people think? Or I've just started running. What's the next thing I need to do? And hopefully inspire one another. So that was how it was kind of created, I suppose.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the community now is awesome.
Yeah, it has. It's steadily grown. I think it grew a little bit faster than I thought it would at first. And it's mainly through Twitter, because I think that just has a really strong presence of educators on there. And it's just, yeah, every day you go on there and people are just sharing what they're doing, you know. And I like the saying that it's all relative. You'll have someone who's just gone and run the Berlin Marathon, or you'll have someone who has just started Catch the 5K for the sixth or seventh time. But everyone's at a different part on their own journey. And it's nice to be able to look ahead and say, yeah, I could aim towards that and I can be inspired by that. But this is where I am at the moment. And I think that's a really nice element of it. There's not any negativity. It's about, you know, positivity and pushing each other and help giving out that little bit of information and helping each other along the way, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really, really cool. Really cool. So this is obviously the Rewriting Wellbeing podcast. So it wouldn't be right to start an episode without talking about wellbeing. And I think we all have a bit of a different interpretation, obviously, depending on our own past experiences and all of that good stuff of what wellbeing means for us. So how would you encapsulate wellbeing for you? You know, that word wellbeing, what does it mean?
It's funny because I did a lot of these sessions with the children in their PE classes a year or so ago. And something I found myself talking about a lot was balance. And it's finding the balance between what is too much, what is not enough. And that balance is going to be different for everybody. For me and for my well-being, I need activity in my life. I need movement. And that's why my commutes are so important to me, because I know that I've got 40 minutes in the morning, 40 minutes in the afternoon where it's just me on my bike moving. If I don't have another opportunity during the day, I've created that time for myself. But also having the balance of knowing when you need to rest, when you need to sleep, when it's a good idea to turn off all notifications on your phone. So I think balance is the word that I would use the most when I describe well-being. And I just love the fact that it's unique and different to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with that. It's, yeah, the fact that it is so unique and we've all got our own interpretation, and we then have that flexibility and that almost that sort of agency and control over it ourselves. Absolutely. So obviously you know, you're extremely passionate about getting teachers and children moving. That's, you know, that is, I don't know if you would agree, if that's your why, your North Star, but I know it's a big passion for you. So when we talk about moving more in schools, and there's lots of other, you know, lots of initiatives out there like the Daily Mile and all these sorts of things. But I think oftentimes it can become a conversation in passing or almost a tick box exercise or something like that. So what are the benefits for us to moving more for, both for children and for teachers? What do we get out of it? Why do we need to make it a priority?
Something that I do like to talk about a lot is creating these active role models for children. So as educators, we're in school, we talk about the daily mile. If as an adult, we are asking the children to go and run for 10 minutes or move their body for 10 minutes, but then as an adult, we are taking that opportunity to sit down and not move our body. I think a lot of that is about the example that we're setting for the children. And the same benefits that the children get from moving their body is exactly the same for us. We've all been in staff training sessions where we're listening to someone talk at us and we're just starting to doze off and feeling really sluggish. And that's exactly the same thing that's happening to children in the classroom when we're just talking and talking. And so those brain breaks, those 10-minute shakeups, they're just waking up our body. You know, we're creating healthier, active habits, I suppose, is what we need to just break out that sedentary lifestyle that so many of us can fall into. So happier, it's making us happier people. It's making us generally healthier all around. And if you look at it from a leadership point of view, if your teachers are happier and healthier, they're going to have less days off, aren't they? So it really shows why, as a school, it should be a real priority to really promote movement for not just the pupils, but for their staff as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you sort of got me thinking there, like, how many staff meetings and things have you gone into? Yeah, where you're sitting there, you're dozing off. And for anyone who is leading a staff meeting, if you can give staff 5 minutes extra toilet break, or, you know, 5 minutes to get up and move on the agreement that they go and spend 5 minutes outside or something like that, you know, I think staff are going to definitely get behind you and enjoy that staff meeting a hell of a lot more compared to if you're 2 hours staring at a PowerPoint presentation, switching off. I went into a school recently and we were talking about dopamine and oxytocin, serotonin and endorphins. And we did that bit of the session outside, and it wasn't difficult. We literally got up and we walked out the double doors, and we could still see where we were sat a couple of minutes before, but we were outside and we were kind of moving about and talking and walking as I delivered that part of the session. And that came up quite a lot on the feedback form, that was something people liked because they just managed to get outside for 10 minutes. And it's really, really simple to do, right?
It is. It's so simple. And I'm planning an activity for National Fitness Day in my school at the moment. And it's not about reinventing the wheel. It's saying, what are you doing in class that you could take outside the classroom? So around school, I've got lots of like A3 clip frames, and any teachers can use them. So if they want to have to go and find out some information, they've got to go move around the building, find the clip frames that could have whatever, anyone could use them, put any information in, but they're getting that information that they would sitting down. But are they now remembering it more because they are literally just getting off their bums and moving around for 10 minutes, if that? I was in a really good training session last year where every kind of 10 or 15 minutes, the guy leading it just stood up and just gave us a really random task. It could have just been find out what the person next to you, what their favorite Disney movie was. But because he was stood up and you just got this really random fact, straight away just woke you up. And yeah. I think, you know, it's so simple, like you say.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. So, you know, we know how important it is for children, and also, you know, the whole learning side of it, like you say, and waking them up and then being more attentive and focused. And obviously we know there are so many children who struggle to sit full stop or to sit for long periods of time, and that's not their learning style, you know. So if you can bring that movement into the classroom, I can imagine it's gonna impact far more children.
Yeah, it's even like answering questions, isn't it? Like if I'm running an assembly and you've got hands up, I'll often just carry a dodgeball and you just throw in it to the person, they catch it, they answer the question. It just brings that engagement level up. The children are suddenly switched on because, oh yeah, I want to catch the ball, I want to be able to answer that question. It's simple little things that are going to just increase your heart rate, you know, which we know is so good for us. And that is going to help in turn us remember what we're even learning. And what I find interesting is everything we say for the pupils is exactly the same for the adults. Mm. And hopefully, the vision I have for sort of our teachers run club community, if you like, is that if they're going for a run after school or they're doing yoga or whatever it is, but they're talking to the children about that as well. So that it breaks down that barrier between, oh, I'm a child, I have to do PE. oh, but actually my teacher, they're going out and doing, they're going for a run, they're doing PE as well. You know, it's not just seen as a, this is something we do when we're children, but we can completely forget about it when we're adults.
Yeah. No, yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree with that one. So on that note then, you know, we've really touched on a few sort of points about how we can incorporate that into the classroom and a bit more movement. Was there anything else that you sort of, you know, these ways of incorporating movement even across the school or in lessons or anything like that to get children and teachers moving a bit more? Is there anything that you particularly like to do with staff or anything that you've seen work really, really well for you?
Yes, there's a couple of things. One thing I really love is theme days. So for me, the Mini London Marathon is, I always use this as a brilliant example, because you take the Daily Mile and yes, it's getting the children moving, but you're creating a repetitive pattern where almost children and staff may resent having to get up and just move their body for however long. You know, I think it's a brilliant initiative and it gets a lot of people moving, but that repetitiveness can become something that the children then resent doing. And that's the last thing that we want. And adults as well, you don't want them to see it as an add-on that they have to do. When I do the mini marathon or the mini London marathon, we do it as a whole school event. So it's not seen as a cross country, but the children can run a loop all around the school. So we'll set up a track. You know, every school's different. In my school, we set it up between all the buildings. So the children can run on, they go past the year six classrooms, they might go past the reception classrooms. And each year group might have a time slot throughout the day. Teachers run with the children or walk alongside them. There might be, I don't know, water guns at one corner. There might be footballs for them to dribble, but they don't realize that they're actually running. And we have the music on and there's dancing and you're creating this love of movement. These children might run like 2 miles. They wouldn't even know that they'd gone that far. The teachers might run a 5K around their own school. I love looking at my Strava afterwards today because I'll do it all day with the children. It's just like these circles around the building. But these children have gone home really enjoying running and moving. And they've experienced that alongside their adults that they see every day as well. So you're creating those active bonds where the children and the adults are active together, achieving the same thing. And that's what I'm hoping. Those sorts of things are what they're going to remember about movement, not cold February cross country out on the field.
Yeah. Still, that's definitely my memory of secondary school rugby, barely catching the ball because your hands are frozen. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. And not long ago, or maybe a year or so ago, I was on the UK Run Chat Twitter. They did like a community hour. And my questions were all based on what were your memories of PE at school? And over 90% of them were negative. And that we're talking a lot of these teachers, we're going back 20, 30, 40 years. But I don't think a lot of that has changed. I think if you spoke to a lot of the children that we teach now in 20 or 30 years, yes, if you are sporty, for lack of a better word, you're going to enjoy it. But if you're not someone who really enjoys that activity, you're still going to have negative memories, as fun as we think it is. So it's, you know, there's a lot of weight on our shoulders as educators to make sure these children leave school enjoying movement, not just sport.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think you're right. Us as teachers, we are the role models, for better for worse, whether we like it or not, in everything we do. You know, do as I say, not as I do, sort of thing. But we obviously want to flip that, and we want to be those role models. And I think for a lot of people, you know, if, like say, if you've had a negative experience of movement or training or exercise when you were younger, and you really do have that tricky relationship with it, you can put up a lot of mental barriers, can't you, to getting started?
Yeah, you only have to look and see the amount of people that get back into sport in their late 20s or early 30s, and they haven't played football since they were at school. They haven't picked up a badminton racket since they were at school. And you think, what happened? There's like 15 or 20 years there where they've done zero activity. And what's inspired them to start again now? And why did they stop for so long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. So with these, you know, ways to get more movement in school, you know, we've talked about quite a few there, haven't we? And I love your one about the dodgeball and just sort of like, you know, incorporating small bits of movement, any way that you can be more active into lessons and stuff. I love that side of it. But are there any kind of pitfalls? Because I know that I'm pretty sure I'm right here, just from conversations we've had over the years, you know, you're quite passionate about, you know, bringing it in as, you know, as a school initiative, or, you know, getting staff involved and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, are there any pitfalls that we can sometimes fall into when it comes to either with the children or with the adults in our school and trying to promote the movement?
Yeah, 100%. If we use the teachers as an example, I think it's managing your expectations and setting yourself a target that is going to be really hard to reach. So, in the past, I might have set up fitness classes, like a boot camp for teachers, and I had two or three or four people say, "Oh, yeah, I'd be really up for that." And so, okay, we pay for the coach to come in, and then suddenly no one shows up. And so, straight away, I'm disheartened. Oh, I've gone out of my way to set this up, and now no one's here. Maybe I wasn't really listening to what they actually wanted. Maybe I didn't have a group of people that had fully committed before we went and asked this person to come in. So my way around that now is by looking at what I put on for the children that's going to happen anyway. So for example, table tennis club, that might happen every Thursday. So at 4:30 in the hall, I've now got six table tennis tables sitting there that are not going to be used for the next hour and a half while the school's still open. So why don't I just send a message to the teachers and say, "Look, there's table tennis tables set up. If you're still here, feel free to go and use them for the next hour and a half. It's not co cost me any more time, any more money. It's just there, and it's given those teachers an opportunity to be active, be social, because that's the other really important thing, for free. They're not having to pay for a gym membership, or they're not going to have to go and book a court somewhere." So the other example I've got is we recently purchased these things called Drumba stands. I don't know if you've come across them.
No.
Imagine high intensity like Zumba, but instead you've got drumsticks, and there's like a 1 meter pole with a little drum base on top, I suppose. So it's an online portal, 30 of them, set up brilliant for a class. And you've got like 1 minute songs, 3 minute songs, Disney music, Ed Sheeran, whatever you want to listen to. There's these dance moves like Just Dance, I suppose, that
Wow.
go with every single one. And it gets progressively harder. You can do a 45-minute non-stop if you want, and some of the children can. I don't know how, because it's so tiring. But this is something that we purchased with some funding for the children. But on Thursday, I've got a parent session happening at 5 o'clock. So those Drumba stands are going to be set up from 3:30 till 4:30 for the children, and then 4:30 till 5 for staff, and then 5 till 6 for parents. And again, I've not really had to do anything. It's just there to be used. So it's kind of the quick wins, things that are happening anyway that you could then just engage more people in. That, I think, is the right direction to go.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really, really good. Because I think that's a big objection for a lot of people, isn't it? Of I haven't got the time or, the equipment or this, that, or the other, which, understandably. But yeah, so it's sort of a lot of what we said here is kind of being quite clever, isn't it? With your time and sort of small wins where you can, as you say, and start small and stack it up over time.
Yeah, working smarter, not harder, I think is the phrase.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we've sort of, I think we've kind of talked about this next point, maybe a little bit already, about, people not being feeling confident in teaching PE themselves because they've had, difficult experiences and things like that. And if someone who is listening has had a challenging experience with PE or they don't feel confident, even just, even just teaching their sort of timetabled PE lessons, or they don't feel confident moving more with the children or any of the stuff we've talked about tonight. If someone doesn't feel confident, how can they overcome that sort of fear, if you like?
It's a really important question because so I think it's something that so many teachers don't actually get a lot of training on. If you've come from a school as well where the school might employ a PE department or an external coach, and then you go to a new school where then you have to teach your own PE, it's very overwhelming. My biggest thing is it doesn't don't overcomplicate it. The main thing that I look for in a lesson is the amount of minutes that the children are spending active. And something I see a lot from observing teachers, for example, when they're teaching their PE lessons, is there's a lot of talking and there's not a lot of movement. And even if that technique that they were teaching was slightly off, but they were moving for 90% of that lesson, at least you've ticked that box. At least you've ticked heart rate raised. They've been moving. Are they enjoying what they're doing? Yes. If you're already doing those things, you're already halfway there. The techniques you can learn, there's pages like Wanna Teach PE on Twitter, and there's reels and reels of really simple games that you can play. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel again when you're teaching these lessons. But if you are increasing their heart rate and they're moving for a high percentage of the time, you're already, you know, 90% of the way there. The other thing is just observe, go and see people that are confident, because it's lots of little things. It's like, what are the children doing when you're talking to them? Are they spread out across the whole field, or are they close to you so they can really hear what you're saying and view what you're demonstrating? Because you would make your life a bit harder again if you're constantly yelling. There's nothing wrong with slowing a lesson down if it means then for the next 3 minutes they're going to be really active.
Yeah, no, I really, really like that. I know that when I, you know, have taught PE at points, have felt quite, you know, unconfident, if that's the right word, in kind of, you know, ticking all those boxes. But I think, like you say, I think if they're moving, that is the primary driver behind physical education, isn't it? It's the physical as well as the education part, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And it's things like if you're doing a dribbling lesson for football or basketball, there's nothing wrong with giving them 7 or 8 minutes at the beginning of the lesson to just self-explore, take that ball, and then you can just actually build that whole lesson on dribbling with every child having a ball in their hands for the whole lesson. I think there's this big thing about, you know, we must get to games, we must get to matches. But if you look at a match, you'll get the 3 or 4 children who are really into that sport that will dominate. And then you might have, if you had a game with 10 children, and you might have 5 of those thinking, brilliant, it's a great opportunity for me to just sit back and pretend I'm involved now. Whereas when you're playing these activities, and games where every child is involved, they are all gaining something from that.
Yeah. So get the children moving, rule number one. Yeah, excellent.
100%. Get the stopwatch out. Test yourself. That's something I do often, is just take the stopwatch of the lesson and start it every time I talk and turn it off when I stop. And you could look at that at the end of the lesson. That could be 20 minutes, you know, and you think if you've only got 45 to 60 minutes to teach, there's a high percentage of that lesson where, you know, they're sitting listening to you talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that, you know, when the children are, you know, moving more, that gives the teacher an opportunity to do the same. And I, you know, obviously the teachers I coach, and a lot of it is around physical health. A lot of them are aiming to move their bodies more. They're aiming to walk more or raise their heart rate or whatever it might be that they personally enjoy. And I always say to teachers, if you can join in, you don't have to worry about it when you get home. You've got your activity in for the day. You've just clocked up 3,000 steps, you know, throughout a PE lesson or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's one that we just don't really think of, because we feel like we need to be almost like, you know, scanning the children and observing and looking for teaching points and stuff. But if you can move your body, that's, yeah, half an hour, 40 minutes of extra activity for you as well.
100%. The children's engagement level changes massively once Mr. Chaplin's in the game. You know, yes, health and safety, you've got to be careful about how you're taking part in these games. You're not going to go and join in a football game and, you know, end up taking a child. You've got to be sensible. You've got to be smart about the games that you're playing. Tennis, badminton, those kind of racket sports, non-invasion games. Yes, if you can play in a basketball game as a passive pass to me, I'll always pass back to you. And there's a fine line between it. But you can really, yeah, you can. I come out of some of those lessons sweating, you know, because you are really inspiring those children to do the same thing. And as soon as they see you happy and engaged, yeah, they're going to be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is one of those situations that's just like a win all round, isn't it? There's not really many downsides, if any.
No, I don't think there is at all. You know, you're modelling, you're a part of that lesson. And as long as you are still in control and you are still teaching and spotting those things. But often when you're a part of the lesson, if you're working with a small group, you'll be able to pick up those teaching points really quickly because you are in it with them. And if you're modeling the same technique that you want them to achieve, then they're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's sort of on the horizon for Teachers Run Club and everything that you're working on? I know that you've got a lot of big projects coming up. I don't know how many details you can share at the moment or anything like that, but, you know, what's on the horizon for all of the work that you're doing?
So in the short term, it's just trying to build our community, work directly with teachers, small workshops. I've got one that I'll run again, which is about the mini marathon I talked about earlier, you know, how to set that up, because I've done that 10 or 15 times in my school. So I've kind of found a way that works. So it's building those little workshops. And if teachers have got an idea about something that they would like to achieve, even if it's not something I've spoke about before, I'd love them to reach out, because if we're in such our infancy in TRC that we want to know what schools want, you know, and if schools want to know how they can engage parents more in activity, then yeah, that we can put workshops together like that. So in the short term, it's things like that. We've been really lucky to gain some funding from the London Marathon Events Company to train some teachers, firstly in England, as run leaders, so as England Athletics run leaders. So this was one of my key goals when we started, well, when I realised what Teachers Run Club was going to become, was I wanted teachers in different schools to be run leaders, to be able to, run clubs. So don't need to stop using the word run, but it is running clubs for parents, for teachers, and for children. So it looks like we're going to be able to train about 10 or 12 teachers across England in our kind of first wave of funding. And they'll take part in, I think it's sort of 3 or 4 virtual sessions. They'll become a part of our first cohort of run leaders, with the plan being that they will then be able to lead these community run sessions that are going to benefit, you know, so many people, because it's for all levels, whether it's the first time they've ever ran through to whether they're training for a marathon. It's all about inclusivity. And they'll be able to use that same qualification to teach the children as well. So that is probably the one thing that's taken up most of my attention at the moment.
That sounds incredible. Like the impact that's going to have on hundreds, thousands, probably always a ripple effect, maybe even more, people's mental and physical health just through movement, you know, that's incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, because if for so long we've wanted to create like teacher on club hubs, and whether it was a school or whether it was within a town. And I think by having these coaches, because that's what they're going to become, you know, if you know that the school around the corner from you has got one of these, then you can go and join that. You don't have to go to that school. So like you said, it's hoping to get that kind of ripple effect. And if we have success in the first wave, then it just means more opportunities for more funding. And if, you know, there's teachers, this one's for England only, just because of where the funding's coming from. But we'll be able to expand, you know, the more success we have, the more we'll be able to expand that out across the rest of the UK. And a lot of our following is international as well. We've got a lot of teachers from America or from, you know, Dubai and Sweden and all these places. So it's wow, nice to know that we're getting people are kind of, you know, actively on board. Obviously, we're based here in England, so this is where most of our work is going to happen. But just for now, you know, we never know what the future is going to bring.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Mate, that's brilliant. Really, really, really good. So where can people find you? If people want to know a little bit more about you, Teachers Run Club, where can people seek you out?
So on Twitter, we are at Teachers Run Club. And on Instagram, we're Teachers Run Club UK. Twitter is where we're most active. And if you go on there, you'll be able to also join our mailing list, which means every bit of information that we hand out will go straight into your inbox. So we've currently got a few new teacher features coming up with different educators from across the UK who have just done some brilliant, cool, inspiring things that we share their active journey. So one person is going to be talking about running with a buggy. And it's just finding things that you might not even realize were possible. So it's finding these little niche stories where hopefully someone will read it and think, oh, that's possible. I could do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Really inspiring. Really, really inspiring. Dan, this has been so, so, so good. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for joining us. And we'll have to do a part 2 at some point.
Yeah, 100%. We've got a big, working towards a big charity event for summer 2024. So we could probably continue on that topic next time.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. That sounds awesome. That sounds really good. Well, cheers for joining us, and I'll catch you soon.
Nice one, Charlie. Cheers. Thanks for having me.